So are you the person who went to Arlene Foster?
Yeah.
When I say went to her, you approached her or sent her an email?
No, I emailed Daddy and went to Arlene Foster. And then I got a letter back from Arlene, which, to be honest, I didn't think I would get. But I did get one back, and it said, basically, I understand that we need to find out a bit more about this, so I'd like for you to go and meet my energy team. And then after that, there was a bit of just liaising with the PA to the person in charge at the time, and we set up a meeting around October 2013.
So you flagged it up to Arlene Foster just to walk to step through this. Did she personally respond to you?
She did. Well, it was, I think it had her signature at the bottom, but it wasn't, as I said.
Yeah, and what did she say? Flagging.
It just says, come and talk to my energy team about it.
Okay. And what were her team like? What were the team like when you met them?
So there were three people. One of the people was talked about on a Spotlight program last night. And there were three people there. And whenever I sat down in front of them and told them what my concerns were, that basically people were being motivated and incentivized to heat and have the heat on and kept on, their total answer to me and their leaving comment was, we don't think people will do that. And I said, well, they will, and they are, because that's what we were finding on the ground.
And when, what, and then, so you told them it was happening?
Yeah.
And they ignored you, essentially?
Yeah. And then that was that, Stephen, effectively. And then the more I went out...
That was
in October 2013. So after feeling frustrated and stuff, I just kind of went back to normal, went back about my job in the hope that, you know, somebody somewhere would realise that it was an issue. But I was still seeing it on the ground and, you know, going out to... Now, I wasn't the whistleblower that... there was another whistleblower, I think, that was made people aware of the farmers. I don't ever go out to farm buildings or anything like that, so they're separate. I think there may have been two of us, to be honest.
But what did you see on the ground? Can you give us examples?
Yeah, I can. Basically, you would go in, you know, the way we get a couple of good weeks in the year of good weather. You go into hotels, maybe care homes, you know, when we've got 24 degrees outside and the heat's still on and the windows are open.
Say that again.
So you'd go into places and they'd have the heat fully on, and the windows would be open too. They'd be heating just because the more they heated, the more money they made. The heat is on. The heat is on.
The heat is on. Today, the heat certainly is on for Arlene Foster and Stormont over the renewable heat scheme in Northern Ireland. You, the taxpayers, are paying to heat businesses up and down the country. It gets better. Not only are you paying for the fuel, you're paying those firms a profit just for heating their factories, farms and offices. The controversial Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme was introduced when our First Minister was Economy Minister. Lou Arlene Foster says she wasn't across all the details. But boy, does that detail matter. Because the scheme is designed in such a way that the more you burn, the more you earn. Over the last few programmes, you've been telling us how you feel about a scandal that is expected to cost Northern Ireland around £400 million over the next 20 years.
That's an absolute scandal. Shame on them. Shame on them up in that hill.
The pensioners, the hospitals, our roads, crying out for money. And this is the biggest thing to happen to Northern Ireland.
Whenever you hear that there, it is absolutely scandalous.
Today, on The Nolan Show, a new revelation about the scheme. Wait for this. Are you ready? You are paying to heat Ferraris and their well-off customers at a multi-million pound showroom. Arlene Foster and her department at the time committed your money so that the Ferrari showroom in Belfast will get free heat for the next 20 years. It's all in the name of encouraging businesses to be more environmentally friendly. But did you ever think you would be keeping Ferraris toasty warm while there are some people struggling to heat their homes?
I just was wondering if we could have got a pipe connected to the house from one of those sheds to blow a bit of hot air in.
So, who should take responsibility for one of the biggest financial scandals ever in Northern Ireland?
Your political career's finished. You're going to be ruined for telling the truth. All of that. I've had to do one of the most difficult things I've had to do in my life. And one of the most things I'll ever have to do in my life. And tell the public of Northern Ireland the truth. To shine a light onto what has occurred. And to deal with a major problem.
And you really believe your political career is finished? Why?
Well, people tell me that if you step out, if you step outside the box, you put your head above the parapet, it'll be shot off. I believe that God doesn't punish people for telling the truth. So let's see how it plays out. My only aim is that the truth is told. I have now told it.
You're a family man. You have children.
Yeah.
You must have thought of the implications of doing this interview.
I've talked with my wife. I do talk with my children. And given the level of exposure and all the criticism that comes with that, it'll not be easy. But my wife told me this morning, Jonathan, tell the truth. Please, tell the truth. I've now done it.
You prayed, Jonathan, before this interview.
I did.
Faith is, and God is clearly very important to you.
I'm a very poor Christian, but I've got a great God.
Why are there tears in your eyes?
Because this is difficult. Because hospitals in Northern Ireland will not be built. There's a ward in Ulster Hospital. The Maynard ward is closed. Do you think I can sit back and not tell the truth? Not when God's told me to tell the truth. And Dr. Paisley was right. Tell the truth should the heavens fall on you. So do with me as they will. But the facts are, documents, emails, times, dates, you will not find one single thing that is not the truth. I've done my duty. I've told the people of Northern Ireland the truth. They elected me to represent them. I did not seek office to close hospitals. I did not seek office to send terminally ill children home while hundreds of millions of pounds are abused.
Jonathan Bell alleges that he wanted to close the scheme. This was very much his thought process in January. He alleges that you called him to a meeting. He says there was a stand-up row. He uses the word abusive. He says you were shouting at him to keep it open.
Well, there's a couple of things there. First of all, he signed off a submission in January to close the scheme in March. And I was concerned that that was too long. And I believed that it needed to be closed before that, as did the Deputy First Minister. We discussed this issue. In relation to a meeting with Jonathan, I do recall a meeting with Jonathan. And rather than me being abusive with him, he was very aggressive with me. And I have a witness in relation to how he spoke to me.
What happened?
On that. Well, I was sitting in my room and he came in and used his physical bulk to stand over me in quite an aggressive way. so much so that he was not physically, but he was told to step back. And, you know, Stephen, I have no idea what the anger was about, but I'll tell you this much, Stephen. The Jonathan Bell that appears, and I've only seen a small clip of what you have tonight, the Jonathan Bell that appears on your programme tonight is not a Jonathan Bell that would be familiar to many of his political colleagues, to many of his civil servants that he worked with in the department.
Wasn't he a friend of yours?
Let me finish the point. Or indeed to many in the business community. I have many female colleagues who have felt intimidated and felt bullied by Jonathan over the years. I certainly felt...
Mr. Bell would emphatically deny that.
He may well do that. But let me say this. I have felt intimidated by Jonathan Bell on occasion, and I certainly did on that occasion. So all of this nonsense that I was aggressive to him, it's quite the contrary, Stephen.
What was he saying?
It's quite the contrary.
What was he saying?
He had went to the... he had put out a statement saying that he was closing the scheme immediately. And representations were made across the political spectrum that there'd been a lot of people who had spent a lot of money on capital equipment who hadn't had the chance to apply into the new tiered scheme. Don't forget, this wasn't the scheme before November. This was the scheme that had been tiered. And we spoke to senior civil servants and they said, well, there may be a possibility that there'll be legal challenges if these people have spent money and that they haven't been able to apply into the scheme. So we thought that the best way forward was to leave a two-week, very specific gap for those people to be able to apply in. And that was done...
So you did ask for it to be extended?
Well, hold on a wee second. This was after I had said that March was too late. And March, don't forget, was Jonathan's date. So we then, in conjunction with senior civil servants, who agreed that that was the right thing to do. And indeed, if you look at Jonathan's statement in the House that followed, he said that the two-week period was in consultation with the Office of First and Deputy First Minister. So what he was angry about on that occasion was the fact that he was going to have to change from immediate closure to another 2 weeks. And he didn't like the fact that he was going to have to go back to the House. And he was angry about that fact. And he made no bones about it, I have to say, Stephen, when he came into my office.
So he wanted immediate closure. He didn't want March. He wanted immediate closure, you've just said.
No, he signed off for March. Please follow. He signed off for March in January.
You just said immediate closure is what he wanted.
We said to him that March was too late, that we needed to bring it forward. When we brought it forward, it was then made clear to us that people may have had legal
I heard you
difficulties.
Said, you've just said he wanted immediate
after
closure.
After already signing off for March, when we went back to him and said, we need to close this, Jonathan, he put out a statement saying, I'm closing it immediately. We said, but Jonathan, there are a number of people in the system that need to get through. And that's the reality. And you know what? The paperwork will show all of this. And that's why I'm quite confident about it all.
And that's why I'm really keen to get to the paperwork.
Yeah.
And the allegation that Mr. Bell has. He alleges in relation to keeping the scheme open that there has been an attempt to remove references to you and the Office of First Minister from email chains. What is your reaction to that?
Well, I know nothing about email chains. The only change that I have seen is in the draft submission, which was to close the scheme in March, where it was taken out, OFM-DFM was taken out of that draft submission and just left as after consultation. Instead of saying after consultation with OFM-DFM, it just says after consultation. That's the only thing I'm aware of.
The original version said the decision to proceed in this way, proceed without consultation, we're talking about the 3rd of February consultation here, 3rd of February submission, my fault, had been taken following discussion with OFM, DFM and DFP, and that then changed. The revised version said that Mr. Bell had decided, and so it was left to him that the record would show that he was the sole decision maker. Now, I wonder why OFM, DFM and DFP was taken out of that.
This is all irrelevant. You know why it's irrelevant?
It's irrelevant?
No, can I tell you why it's irrelevant? Because in the House, Jonathan said, I have, after consultation with OFM-DFM. So he makes it clear that we were involved. Makes it entirely clear that we were involved.
Are we going to get some of our money back?
Yes, we are, because we're working on a plan, and actually the plan is going to come forward early in January. The Department of Economy have been to see their lawyers, and I think it will be a very substantial plan, so we're looking forward to that coming in January. And this is all about finding a solution to the difficulties that have arisen and finding a plan to deal with it.
There were 12 audits in 2014-15. 11 of them failed. Now we're going to audit everybody now that this scandal is in front of us. By the way, again, you were the minister when there were those 12 audits by Ofgem. Why on earth weren't we auditing all along?
Well,
why weren't we checking everybody?
Because Ofgem, who were the regulator, didn't alert us to the fact that there was a difficulty. And of course,
they said they asked for more money, First Minister. Don't you know this?
Of course, there was an underspend in my department at the time I left.
Do you know that they asked for more money to do more audits?
I have no idea whether they did or not. It wasn't raised with me.
Weren't you the minister?
Yes, I was, and it wasn't raised with me.
So you don't know.
Stephen, you're still fixated on trying to rewrite what happened and rehearse.
I'm asking, have you asked on behalf of the public what delayed? We now know that there was a suggestion to put the cost controls in September, and that that was then delayed for 6 weeks. Why? Who delayed it?
I don't
Who was
know,
responsible?
Stephen. But Stephen, the point here
Have
is,
you asked? Has the First Minister asked?
In January 2017, people want to know, are we going to fix the problem?
You might say
not,
that, and what
not,
I'm
well,
telling
well,
you now
I
is this programme will be asking on behalf of the public in Northern Ireland,
yes.
Not just what are you going to do about it, but who was responsible
yes.
for it going wrong,
as
why
put
did it,
it
go wrong?
As
why did it,
it
go wrong,
yes,
Gregory?
As you put it previously, you're going to keep digging. And as I responded, digging works both ways.
You dig
Remember
away.
That? Remember
you dig
that?
Away. And I think yeah. people and I think people responded to you in that they were asking you, were you threatening me?
And what way would you suggest that that's a threat?
I'm telling
why
you that's
you
what people
that?
Sent to you. You can dig away into
well,
me, Gregory.
Why would you suggest that?
You can dig away into
see,
you can you, dig away into me.
See, Stephen,
I'm telling
seems-
you now, I'm telling you now that you dig away as much as makes your heart content. I will continue to ask the questions I'm asking.
Well, Stephen,
so let's come
you
back.
See, no,
let's
Stephen,
come back to
Stephen,
the issue.
No, no.
Here's
see,
the question I'm asking
no,
you.
Stephen, here's the point here. You see, you are very good at posing questions.
Thank
I've
you.
Said this on
that's
a number
job.
Of occasions. Yes, that's
Thank
right.
You.
That is right, for which
Thank
you're
you.
Very highly and secretively paid out of the public purse. Yes.
Thank you.
Now, the point is, you're not very good at answering them. That's the point. That's the digging. That's
okay.
the digging I'm talking about.
Okay, and dig away. So
yes.
if I can come back, if you don't mind, to the question.
This morning, the Nolan Show returns to our investigations into the Renewable Heat Incentive Scheme. We're concentrating today on the fact that the Department of Economy has published wrong individual information about what companies have received. This is despite the department knowing what the public outcry was likely to be in this huge politically loaded story. Some people have been devastated by the mistakes that have been made. We spoke to one businessman in particular who could hardly speak. Such was the extent of his trauma after the Department of Economy falsely reported that he had claimed hundreds of thousands of pounds. They put it in writing. They published the information widely to every newspaper in the country. This businessman had not claimed hundreds of thousands of pounds. The information was completely wrong. The department stated that one businessman had been paid out £228,000. The actual figure was £20,000. The department said that another company had 9 boilers. They didn't. They had 4 boilers. The department said another company had registered boilers in 2014 to a total of £63,000 of payments. The actual payment, £228. People have been left devastated by this, and there are big question marks over the Department of Economy's capability to have information and publish it correctly. The lawyer Paul Tweed from Johnson Solicitors deals in reputation management. He's with us this morning. Paul, what can these people do now that their reputations have been tarnished?
Well, this could obviously be very damaging for the reputation and brand of a business, and possibly the individuals behind it. against a background of allegations in the media of people abusing and possibly unlawfully profiting from the controversial scheme.